The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
In a world dominated by screens, Carlos Whitaker goes completely screen-free and shares what he learned.
I don't think people are addicted to their phones. I liken the phone to a needle. The phone isn't the drug, it's just the needle. What is it that the needle is administering to you that you're addicted to? And that, I think, is where the deceiver can come in. It's always a lie that you believe about yourself, which is why you're looking at it so much, trying to medicate whatever that lie is.
You know, I'm really, by the way, I'm not excited Betty's not here. This just happened that I had two guests available that were here where we, and I just, I got to talk to these guys. This is Carlos Whitaker. Reed Disconnected. You know what? He doesn't even have a title of a ministry, even though he was a musician in Andy Stanley's church. And, you know, he's a son of Charles Stanley. He's probably, now maybe more famous than his daddy. But Carlos just found himself being led by God in a very supernatural way, which one thing that happened to him was he was literally separated from, I don't even word divorced, but he was separated from the phone and the tech world, beginning to control his world. And I'll let him tell us about it. Carlos Whitaker, he has a book called Re-Disconnected. Okay, Carlos, let's just cut to the chase.
Yes.
What do you mean by disconnected?
Well, let's look at this. So disconnected is what a lot of people said, oh, you weren't on your phone for 8 weeks? You must have been disconnected. And I thought, I guess that was true. But you know what? Actually, I feel like I got reconnected with God and that's why I scratched out the dis, and it says reconnected on there. So it's kind of a little play on words.
So the connected is far more important than the dis.
Yes.
But if the dis hadn't happened,
right,
the re might not have happened.
Oh, now you're on. This is why you're so good at your job.
Wow.
That's so good. It is true.
I'm not a tech person.
Yeah.
I'm the lowest level tech person on the planet.
Yeah.
I have to call somebody to help me with anything connected with technical. I had to literally ask some of my staff a while ago how to hang my iPhone up. Can you believe that? I mean, what's with this? Okay, I'm not a tech person, but I do live, let's say, in a tech world because I do use the iPhone. Thank God. It's a lot easier to use than a lot of other ways we had to go. But I can easily see how distracted people become by the tech world and by the phone. Was the phone in some way just consuming your time?
It absolutely was. You know, one of the things that you've taught many of us your entire career in ministry is how to hear the voice of God. I would say that you were a conduit of that. And I would say that my ability to hear the voice of God was getting muted and muted and muted. And the one correlation that I could find was that the more time I was looking at my phone, the harder it was to hear the voice of God.
Wow.
So I started to think, well, I wonder what my actual screen time is. Now, as a 51-year-old man that runs a solopreneur company, I'm on my phone a lot. And I realized I was on my phone 7.5 hours a day.
Goodness.
That's how long I was on my phone. Now, before the rest of your viewing audience judges me, the average American is on their phone 6 hours a day. Well, James, I did the math. 7 hours a day is 49 hours a week. That's two entire cycles of the sun. I was looking at my phone. That equals 100 days a year. So three months a year. And if I live to be your glorious age of 81 years old, I will actually lose 12 years of my life looking at my phone. That was the moment of definition for me. And I said, Lord, I don't know what I was created to do, but I know it wasn't this. What can I do? So I decided to do an experiment. And the experiment was, could I live for 2 months, 7.5 weeks, and never look at a single screen? So I didn't look at an iPhone, an Apple Watch, a TV, a laptop, an iPad. I never consumed any information.
How did you let everybody know you weren't dead?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I moved to a monastery for the first half of it, a Benedictine monastery, and then I moved to an Amish farm for the second half of it. And my wife would actually have to call me on a payphone like it was 1985. Like, I would walk to a payphone at 3 o'clock every other day, and I was like, and I'd wait for it to ring, and it would ring, and my wife would call me. And so,
and the Amish didn't have any phones.
The Amish didn't have any phones. So she, you know, she just had to wait until I was done there. But so the kicker is, I wanted to not only know what happened in my soul. I think a lot of us would say, gosh, maybe these devices are muting the voice of God in our soul, but I want to see what it was doing in my brain. So I went and got my brain scanned by a neuroscientist before and after this experiment. And yes, I lived with monks, I lived with Amish farmers, and then I lived with my family for a few weeks without a device as well, and got my brain scanned. And let me tell you about the brain scan first, and then I can get into some of the lessons that I learned. When I got my brain scan before, when I was on my phone 7 hours a day, my cognitive memory score, so my father has dementia. I caretake for my father along with my mother every day. So I see the effects of what dementia has on somebody. And I've just tried to do everything I can, like what can I do in my life and what I eat and how I exercise and do things for this maybe to not happen with me. I was in the 50th percentile of memory for men in America before this experiment. When I finished and did not look at a phone for 7.5 weeks, when I got my brain rescanned and did my cognitive memory score, my brain was at the 99th percentile of memory for men in America.
Holy cow.
Only 1% of men had better memory than me. And I thought to myself, these are not smartphones. They're dumb phones. They're making us dumb. And wow. So it's pretty mind-blowing, the effects. The big part of my brain healed about 5 years in those 7 weeks. And so just the data scientifically itself is proof in the pudding that maybe we need to spend a little bit less time. So I spent those 7 weeks with the monks and the Amish, and I had an incredible time and lots of great lessons from the monks, lots of great lessons from the Amish.
Did they act like they learned anything from you?
They did.
I mean, seriously.
You know, no, absolutely they did.
What did they think about you telling them what you had separated yourself from?
So, I love that question, because the monks, you never know it, but monks have phones. And so when I'm sitting there with Father Francis in his study, and he's got all these books around him, and he's his big brown robe with his big black belt, and I'm talking about life and God, I'll never forget, I'm sharing my deepest heartaches, and his phone goes bzz, bzz, on his desk right in front of him. And I thought, did this monk just leave this conversation? He picked up his phone. He's like, I'm sorry, Carlos. And he's like, hold on, it's my brother. And he types really, and he puts it back down. And I was like, this is actually what I'm trying to get. And so he goes, oh, Carlos, I'm so sorry. Maybe I need to read your book when you're done writing it. Because even monks, even the Amish, we're all going through this season of life where technology might just get in the way of us hearing the voice of God and being present with other people. So yeah, they learned a lot from me as well.
Have you felt in your own spiritual life what has come to you as a very significant difference?
Oh, my goodness. It's a gigantic difference. Let me tell you this. One of the first things I learned when I was with the monks, that was a difference in who I was before and who I was after, is I think God created us with a certain capacity to know what we know. But these devices have given us the ability to, I honestly believe, know more than God actually ever intended us to know. I don't think we were supposed to know every answer to everything in the universe. But Google, I call it the wonder killer. So remember those days when people used to say, well, I wonder what happened in 1934, and you just have to wonder. Well, now people don't wonder anymore. What happens? They pick it up and they find out the answer. So something that I've done, that I've started to do with all my friends, if we're at a dinner party or something and someone says, I wonder, is I know if someone picks up the phone, I go, nope, put it down. We're just gonna wonder. We're just gonna sit here and sit in the beauty of who God created us to be and wonder. So there's all these practices, James, that I've been able to reconnect with, the practice of savoring, of silence. Be still and know that I am God. Well, I was not being still before I went to the monastery of the Amish. I was moving at 100 miles an hour, but I looked at the ministry of Jesus, and Jesus and his disciples walked everywhere. They didn't get in a car. Doesn't say they were riding horses. Maybe they were, I don't think so. So when a human being walks, they walk at 3 miles an hour. And I thought, Jesus's ministry was 3 miles an hour. How fast is my ministry going? Oh my goodness, maybe if I'm moving at 100 miles an hour and Jesus moves at 3 miles an hour, well, now who's following who? So I realized that I've got to slow down. I can still do great things with, you do great things with television and all these amazing things, but I think we have to purposely move at God's speed in order to truly follow.
All right, what's some of the first things that you saw happening positive in your own life?
Oh my goodness. I got home and my 16-year-old daughter said, "Dad, Daddy, this is the purest version of a father I've ever had." I mean, when she told me that, she said, "You're so present in every single conversation that you have with me." And I was, like, I was, you know, I had nothing buzzing on me. I had no sounds happening around me. I was completely focused.
You were focused, yeah.
I was focused on her. My wife said, she even says now, "I miss Amish Carlos because I came home and I started fixing things around the house and I started, just being more present even to my family and caring for them." Some of the things that I initially did when I got home that is, I think, could be really helpful for some of your viewers is I put my phone on a setting called Do Not Disturb. And it's been on Do Not Disturb for almost 2 years now, where I don't get any notifications anymore. My phone does not tell me when to pick it up. If I pick it up, there's notifications on the screen. I'm like, oh, I should call this person back. They called me, but it will never interrupt me in the middle of a conversation. I bought an alarm clock, put it next to my bed. Does everybody remember alarm clocks? We used to have these things before the phones, and now the alarm clock just wakes me up in the morning. I don't pick it up, and there's not 15 messages from people that I'm swiping through. No, the Lord just wakes me up, and I don't look at my phone, and I just have an incredible time with God. Before I even pick up my phone, I make sure that I spend time in the Word, I'm spending time praying, and my connection with God has been reconnected in ways I never thought it would be before.
Okay, have you had people already, with just a little bit that you've been sharing and the people having access to be around you, are you finding them very curious and very excited about it?
Yes. I think that we're at a pain point in America right now where everybody is swimming in what I call like an ecosystem of rage. Everyone's just angry, a lot of anger happening right now. And most of the time, the reason why people are angry, James, is not because of a conversation they've had with somebody face to face. It's because of what they're reading off of this 7 inches of glass that they pick up in their hand. What I'm finding is that more and more people are desiring to spend less and less time reading all the news and, you know, constantly bickering with people with their thumbs on a screen, and they're really desiring this human connection. So I think it's a pain point in America right now where I think it's very important to understand current cultural context, to understand what's happened in politics, policies, all of these things are very important. But I think we spend too much time swimming in it, and what it does is it sets us up to be in a space of constantly being frustrated and mad about things when I think the Lord wants us to see the beauty that's all around us that we're missing because we're just walking around looking at our phones.
You know, I was telling you before we came out here that I do hear God clearly.
Yes.
Louder than out loud. And I heard him just say while you were talking about what's going on, they're being manipulated. Mm. They're being manipulated by others, but they're also being manipulated primarily by the deceiver.
Yes.
And the distractor.
Yes.
And that's precisely what happened. Okay, so the book is out now, and you tell me it's going quite well.
The book is going really well. It's called Reconnected. There's also a documentary that I have based on the book as well. And so the documentary, people are watching that with their families. And I took a small camera with me on this journey. And every single night I would talk to it and kind of, you know, pour out my thoughts a little bit. So I think the documentary, the book, it's really helpful not only for individuals to help with their screen time, but for families as well. You know, people are saying that this rising generation behind us, they're just addicted to their phones. And the one caveat I would add there is, I don't think people are addicted to their phones. I liken the phone to a needle. The phone isn't the drug, it's just the needle. What is it that the needle is administering to you that you're addicted to? And that, I think, is where the deceiver can come in. It's always a lie that you believe about yourself, which is why you're looking at it so much, trying to medicate whatever that lie is.
Can't another form of unhealthy distraction or attraction also be the television?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, the television can just numb us. You know, it can get us to a place where I don't want to face reality. I'm just going to watch this show that's going to take me somewhere else. And I think it's okay. We all love different television shows. We love to be entertained. But when it becomes, and I think you can just ask yourself, is this medicating something, a lie that I believe about myself? television can become a distraction. You know, the phones and screens, that's just like this current day and age, our needle. There was an article that came out in the New York Times in 1918 where it was on the front page and it said that the kaleidoscope is going to be the downfall of mankind because kids were walking around New York City looking at these kaleidoscopes, walking in a stop sign, stepping into the street, and they were addicted to the kaleidoscope. So
how hard to believe.
Yeah.
When you have such a kaleidoscope today.
Exactly. So this is just our current kaleidoscope. And there'll be something else in 100 years. We just have to maintain our connection to the voice of God.
If they want to watch you, see your website, say what they go to.
www.carloswhitaker.com. The book is there, the documentary is there, and all my ministry is
there. And if they go to the book, what do you think and pray they'll come away with?
Yes, I hope that they pick this book up, they read the book, and I honestly believe that you're going to realize that the phone isn't the problem. It's not that way that screens are bad. It's what's beautiful on the other side of the phone. I think they're going to fall in love with wondering, noticing, savoring, getting lost and finding our way, all these uniquely human experiences that the screens have just taken away from how we're living day to day. And I think they're just going to fall back in love with living again.
And are you having people now that you've been doing it long enough to hear back and see the outcome? Are you having expressions of real gratitude that it's like I came alive in some way? A very unique and meaningful way.
Absolutely.
A way important to God.
Yes, yes. I'm seeing people send me messages every single day going, Carlos, not only can I hear the voice of God louder, but my kids are getting more of me. If you just cut 2 hours a day of your screen time, you'll literally gain a month back of your life a year. That's how important. People aren't living 12 months a year anymore. They're living like 10 months a year. And I'm like, if you just implement some of these practices that the Amish and the monks taught me, you can live your entire life again.
Okay, let me just pause. I want to go directly to you. This is really important. I want to pray. Mm-hmm. Father, unhealthy attractions.
Yes, Jesus.
Unhealthy distractions. Mm-hmm. Are damaging.
Yeah.
Deadly sometimes. Father, free us.
Yes, Jesus.
From those distractions. And let us be captivated by you.
Yeah. That's good.
Turn off many of the things that have truly damaged us with distraction. And bless Carlos.
Thank you.
And bless all who read the book. I hope you've heard God today because God's talking to him and through him. I'm excited about it. I hope you get this. You know, Carlos, our viewers love to help the overlooked. Mm. They love to help the least of these. And I always tell my viewer, if you want to know who really the Christians are, just remember this. Jesus said the ones who feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, care for the suffering, visit those in prison, and he said, they're ministering to me as well as the least of these. But the significance of these are my sheep. Mm. You want to know who his sheep are? They notice the unnoticed, the overlooked, those who appear to be unloved, and they pour out the love of God. One of the things our viewers tell us, there's not one thing we do to help the overlooked that gives us more excitement than giving clean water to those who've never had clean water and who are seeing their children die young, oftentimes as 2 and 3 years old, always in most instances below 5. And we give them the miracle of life. When I say we, you, we who notice the overlooked and the least of these, please listen, watch, listen, and know you are the needed miracle. You are the miracle.
What do you see in this scene captured in a remote area of Africa? There is the obvious, children collecting and drinking water that does not look clean. Why would they drink that water if they can see it's not clean? If you were to ask them, they would tell you they have no other choice. This is the only water source they have access to. They're temporarily winning the battle against thirst, dehydration, and ultimately death. But it's an unending struggle that comes with a price. Unfortunately, as they take this unsafe water home, It oftentimes causes sickness and, in more severe cases, even death from the effects of a waterborne illness. This cycle of misery caused by unclean water does not have to follow these children into adulthood. We can break that cycle by providing them and their families with a water well in their village.
So while we were here in a village evaluating the severe drought that's come to Gonda, Angola, we found one of the water wells that we drilled more than 10 years ago. And I want you to see just how pure the water is. I put this in the sunlight yesterday and could not tell the difference. I've told you many times before that I am completely comfortable drinking the water that we provide through our water wells, and it's true. Nothing like life. We need your help to bring water for life to a village like this so that we can assure that their children will not suffer from waterborne illness anymore.
You know, so many times the mothers and the ones old enough to carry water, they'll walk 5 kilometers, 10 kilometers to get water, sometimes daily, but many times a week. And what they're bringing back is water they have just to live another day. But they're also bringing back germs and disease. And they watch their loved ones and their children too often die a very horrible, terribly painful disease. And it breaks their heart. So many have lost at least one child. Many have lost as many as 3 or 4. But when you give them a well, you've just given them new life. You've given them hope. You've given them joy. You've given them opportunity. And we always tell them, through the voices of the missionaries who've planted their lives in the midst of suffering and pain, to reveal life, to share life. And in the form of water, it is so transforming. Do you realize that we win virtually everyone that is touched by the people in that village or in that area? We win them to Christ. And I mean, they have a conversion experience. Because love is transforming. You know, when we talk about giving away the beautiful bronze, this is the Lion of Judah and the cross. The Lion of Judah was my favorite bronze we ever gave away, because the power of the Lion of Judah is the cross. And I think this is beautiful. We want to ask you, could you help us drill a well? Could you possibly drill a well? It's $4,800. Could you do that? You know, many people say they live every year to have that joy, and they make that a goal. But then there are many people who say, James, I can't do that, but I give $1,200 and pray 3 join me. And so often they do. Or I give $2,400, pray another joins me. Well, we are sending the Lion of Judah, the beautiful bronze, to everyone who will give at least $1,200 toward a water well. Could you do that? But do you know where most of the support comes? $48 will give 10 people water the rest of their life. Did you hear what I said? $48. It's hard to go out and eat with a small family at a very inexpensive restaurant for that price. Can't hardly do it. Would you give that? $144 will give 30 people water the rest of their life. There's a level at which you can reach out and give water to someone Jesus gave his life for. Would you go get your bank card right now and use it like a check, please? Go get it. Dial the number or go online and use that bank card like a check. If you write a check, make it to Life. But please call us and tell us you're putting it in the mail. Because if we're going to be able to drill the 350 wells, we got to know it's coming. You will provide the well. Please do it now. Thank you so much for sharing God's love in demonstration. Thank you.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Dr. Don Cobert's new book, Spiritual Health Zone. Discover the key to living in divine health as you find a roadmap to adding joy, peace, and years to your life. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the He Restores My Soul candle set. This decorative candle and match set will inspire you to remember the restoring presence of Jesus, the true light of the world. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our new bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah, inspired by Revelation 5:5. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, I want to thank you because I believe you're going to help, and Dr. Cobert's the Health Zone. Boy, I mean, this is a spiritual health zone, not just physical, but it's really good. And the beautiful, really, it's kind of a worship candle is what it is. But we'll also send you Carlos' book, Reconnected. I just feel like you'd like to have it. You help us any way you can drill those wells. And if you want the book, you can go online and get it, or you can go to the bookstore and get it. Or you can give to give a drink of water, and we'll gladly send it to you. Carlos, I believe people are going to be visiting your website, reading your book, and I just pray God continues to pour His blessings out on you.
Amen.
And through you, and then through millions of people.
Amen.
Because of what you share.
Thank you
for being with us.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Thanks for watching. Thanks for sharing life.
For over 60 years, Life Outreach International has shared the transforming truth of God's love in both word and deed. Our ministry to the lost and hurting is only made possible because of the prayers and generous gifts of our friends and partners who provide consistent, faithful support. Call now or go online to become a friend for life. Your monthly support will help us continue to bring God's love, hope, and healing to a world in need. One life at a time.
Dr. Don Cobert explains how love is the eternal, nourishing root of all wellness in the Spiritual Health Zone. Tomorrow on Life Today.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.